You're listening to the Vocal Fry Podcast, your weekly dash of voice science, pedagogy, and pop culture. Coming to you from the fields of Trenzalore, where the doctor stands.
Go.
All right. Oh.
All right. Here we are. Vocal fam.
We're here. Hello.
How's kicks?
Kicks?
Oh,
I was like, is this a thing? Am I missing
It's a what do you call them? Expression of speech,
idiom?
No, you know, like you do. Like
some slang.
Yeah, you know, the things that you say.
The things that I do, those word things. I've heard of those.
The things you say
on occasion.
That are just things that you say.
Nah,
when
I
you
get
say
it.
Things.
I get it.
Anyway, Sarah, how you doing?
I'm all right. Jamie and I have been, you know, looking for somewhere to live. And unsuccessfully, might I add. And at first I was like, oh, we have so long before we move. And I will say, actually, looking for houses has been kind of nice. Or these are to rent, rental houses or even apartments, because most places will let you schedule self-tours. And so, you know, it's something that, like, we can do on a weekend and we don't, like, interact with anybody. Just kind of. But it's also something that's not in our apartment and requires, like, going out. So that's kind of nice.
Right.
But I've had very, 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 very little luck with that. And now we're to this point where I'm like, we're getting kind of close to that time that I would like to move. We've also tried doing some like virtual tours, 3D tours, so many options. But it's not quite the same. Like the 3D tours are nice because you can easily rule out a place with a 3D tour, but you cannot easily commit to a place with a 3D tour, if that makes sense.
Oh, you mean like a 3D tour
on the internet, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess you could. I mean, if nothing else, you could do that and then still drive by the place.
And we did that. We did that with one place and we're able to easily rule it out. But they're still just like, as far as even if we like the 3D tour and even if you like driving through, there's just that weird feeling of like, what if it's not the same when I walk through? Because we've had that happen with several places where we like look at pictures or a 3D tour and we're like, wow, this looks great. And then we go walk through it and we're like, why doesn't the fridge open all the way? Oh, because of these cabinets. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that's a...
That was our favorite moment, I think, was when we were...
That is not an uncommon construction design layout problem, actually.
Well, we were not expecting it, especially because, again, on the pictures online, we'd been like, oh, this is a nice kitchen. It's got so much cabinet space, blah, blah, blah.
Well,
then we got there.
You know, so many years ago, so many refrigerators were only one door.
That's true. That's
that maybe
true.
Opened away from, like, we have that problem in our own home. Like, we have a French door refrigerator, but the one side doesn't open the whole way because there's a wall there.
Sorry, I thought I had turned off Discord, and yet somehow it's still ringing. Oh, gosh, and I can't find my... You probably can't hear it, can you? You can't hear a little phone ringing?
No, I'm not hearing anything from you, but I hope your Audacity's not recording Discord.
That's what I'm hoping. I'm trying to... Okay, good, it stopped ringing. I couldn't figure out how to make it stop. Someone wants to talk to me. That's nice. I feel loved.
Well,
anyway. Sorry.
So there's lots going on right now.
Yeah, how are you?
Despite the fact that in so many ways, I'm at this weird, of the many cognitive dissonant places in my life right now. And Vocal Fam, if you're anything like me, you have lots of cognitive dissonant places in your life right now.
Oh, yeah.
One of them that I'm struggling with is just how many millions of things I have going on at the moment. And yet, because the semester has ended, how I feel like I have nothing going on at the moment.
It's not a bad all at the feeling.
All at the same time. Well...
Oh, maybe a bad feeling?
I don't know. It's just part of my, you know... I think I realized that the semester still going was such an incredible blessing for me because it gave me schedule and it gave me things to do and it gave me
it kind of
students
interaction
students to be students to be positive for them.
That's true. Not that ever have a tendency to sort of just go to just despair otherwise.
Right.
Be slightly so pessimistic. Anyway, what?
So anyway, Vocal Fam, I just wanted you to know that if you've had a few freakouts over the last 6 or 7 weeks, and I guess I specifically want to say, because I'm assuming if you listen to this podcast that you have some sort of interest in singing or voice teaching or voice science.
You would think. That's my guess.
I don't think we have that many listeners who somehow don't fit that category. But hey, if you're out there, we see you.
And we're happy to have you.
But I sort of make the assumption that most people are in that... or in that camp, shall we say. And I think particularly the last 12 days have been...
a lot.
Very difficult. And it's been... I will just confess to the Vocal Fam that... Sarah and I release episodes pretty much every week. Oftentimes over the summer... It's not every week.
I was gonna say in the summer it becomes a lot more sporadic, generally speaking.
Because it's summer and
everyone needs a hike. Everybody needs a break. TV shows do it. Podcasts do it. We're a podcast, yeah.
Yeah, lots of podcasts actually just don't podcast over the summer. I mean, that actually is a thing that happens.
Yeah.
Or for a season, they'll take a break or what have you. But, and obviously, yes, you're right. TV shows do that and
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, lots of things.
But I just, as a full confession, if to just to help the Vocal Fam with a moment of transparency, I just was not up to podcasting last week.
Yeah.
I just couldn't do it.
A lot of stuff happened. Like, the past week has been kind of crazy, I think, from if you're in the singing world.
I just could not do it. And so I just want you to know that if you're struggling too, we see you. And we're gonna try to still be here for you and do all the things, but last weekend, and it was not Sarah's fault. This was totally my fault. I'm totally claiming ownership of it.
I don't think it's
I was just not in a headspace to do a podcast.
I don't think you should ever feel ashamed or even have to say like, oh, it's my fault. Like, because everybody needs a break sometimes. Everybody needs to hit pause and have a little rest.
Yeah. And I do want to say a few things. We have lots that we could get to today. For example, one of the things that I'd like to get to is the effect that COVID-19 is going to have on me yet again reordering my and reprioritizing my sequence of events in pedagogy in the fall.
Oh. I honestly would be amazed if you ever were just like, I'm keeping it the same. I have found it. This is it. And not only would I be amazed, I think I would be a little worried. Just like, what's happened?
So that's a thing we can talk about today. Next week, just to give you a little preview, I would like to get to sharing some preliminary things for that'll be coming up in our Nats National presentation. We have some... data that has been extracted and analyzed and statistically analyzed, and that I'm trying to have enough brain space to make some intelligent statements about. I'm not there yet. Mm-hmm. I'm not ready to, I'm not yet lived with the numbers enough to and when I say the numbers, I actually mean the statistical analysis. Thank you, Dr. Glasner. I'm not in a place where I've been able to live with that information long enough to make any kind of informed, intelligent statements about those numbers yet.
Mm-hmm.
But we can do that next week.
Ta-da!
But that is coming. Sarah and I have a meeting with Ms. Alston and Dr. Schweinfurth on
Wednesday
to talk about that. So I've got to have some things written up over the next 2 days. I've also been very busily involved leading our transition for the poster sessions for National to a virtual format.
Oh, yeah. How's that going to...
So that has been occupying a lot of my brain space and basically will continue to do so up until the conference.
Understandably. That's a big... that's a lot.
So what we did, and this is all my fault for making more work for myself, what we did with the posters, if any of you are looking forward to your Nats National virtual attendance, and if you've not signed up for Nats National, I want to encourage you to do so. Especially because at the discounted rate of $75 or $195 for a non-member, which then includes membership through 2021, I strongly want to encourage you to take advantage of this conference. And a lot of the summer workshops are running discounted rates because they're running virtual. Mm-hmm. This kind of thing, and that's wonderful. I actually am going to be back involved with the Donald Miller's singing voice science workshop a little bit.
Okay.
Here at the front end of the summer a little bit, not quite to the extent that I was last year, but I'm gonna do some things and be in attendance mm-hmm. for some of the sessions and submit some video demonstrations, and then I'm going to do some of the Voce Vista tutoring sessions. But
that's awesome. Well, one of the silver linings kind of everything moving virtual is that if travel costs and just time was an issue, not so much now. Like, I was not going to get to do any of the pre-Nats workshops. But I actually went ahead and signed up for one when I registered because it's not a huge deal for me anymore. Like,
Right. Yeah. A lot more affordable.
Yeah. I don't have to get an extra night of a hotel, figure out what I'm going to do for work. Cause like, I'm here.
Right. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, so there's, and I actually have seen colleagues nationally who have signed up for 4 or 5 summer workshops for this summer. Just because there's no travel involved.
Yeah, like you're not having to buy a plane ticket. You're not having to really take... You can kind of make it work with your schedule. Because, I mean, you're not having to totally take off from your own life. Like, you might have to rearrange a few things. But, yeah, I mean, that is just one of the nice things is that you have a little more freedom with these.
Right. So, anyway, just to give you a little preview of what we're doing with the posters... So I proposed this to Alan and to the planning committee mm-hmm. and everybody was fine with it. So what we're doing is I've asked all the poster presenters to submit up to a 5-minute long video, that it can include up to 3 PowerPoint slides in the video, of their poster information.
Okay.
And they can also include a QR code in the video.
For a handout?
For a handout or a link to a performance or a link to their poster, what would have been their poster if they actually want to show people the actual thing that would have been their poster, or it could be anything. I told them, I said this could be a link to whatever you want it to be, because we have some people who are presenting on a piece of music or on something,
Yes.
And so having a lot of times at these poster sessions, even though Nats, we always say, look, we're not going to provide you with any audiovisual equipment. We're not providing you with any power. Anything you want to do is on your own in terms of that. The presentation is the poster. We also don't forbid people from doing that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I tested it the other day in Zoom. I actually made a video of myself lecturing, and with a QR code, like with our QR code for our session.
Yeah.
And I then made a video of that. So I screen recorded that.
Okay.
Then I played that video back while I was taking another video and made sure my phone still captured the QR code. It was very Inception.
That's like a video in a video with a QR code in a video in the video. Like some next
from
level.
My computer to my phone.
That you're, yeah. While you're also recording a video of you watching.
So anyway, that worked.
Okay, good.
So anyway, the Nats poster people are going to submit these 5-minute videos. Mm-hmm. I'm going to edit those together, and we're going to release them as an hour-long video for each session. And we're actually going to release those ahead of the conference, a few weeks actually ahead of the conference.
Oh, wow. So you're putting like a pretty big deadline on yourself, aren't you? Like a rush.
Yeah, like I'm busy.
I'm going to be believe busy. It.
And then we're going to put out a call to Nats.
Uh-huh.
To ask any of the if anybody has any questions for those poster presenters, they're going to send me those questions. I'm going to then organize those questions and then organize Zoom conference calls with every poster session. And I'm going to ask every poster person, I'm going to give them a chance to remind everybody of what their poster title was. And then we're going to ask them one question.
Okay. So this might be too detailed of a question, like you may not have gotten this planned yet. Are there going to be like time stamps for the hour-long videos so that like if I want to look at specific posters I can click to them?
Yeah, that's nice. I'm gonna list the time codes.
Okay, good, that's awesome. Yeah, because I mean I get that's a lot
yeah,
more work.
It'll at least be their name and the time code. It might be their name and the poster title and the time code, but
it gets long.
That gets a little clunky.
Yeah.
Just looking at that on YouTube, because I imagine, I don't know, I also don't know if we're going to release these ahead of time on YouTube or if we're going to release them on the Nats website. My guess is we'll release them on YouTube. So, in any case.
But that's a cool way to handle it.
That's how we're handling posters.
I like it.
I thought it was kind of creative and... It probably gives the poster presenters even more of a chance to shine than they would have had at the conference.
That's what I was thinking, because I think more people, especially if you're releasing the videos a few weeks in advance, people are going to, I think, be more likely to go and kind of watch those, because then you can kind of come and go from it. It's not like, okay, you have this hour-long period to go and try to look at what you can. Like, you can go watch a few minutes here, and then the next day watch a few minutes there. Like, that's nice. That's
so
how
Vocal
I live
Fam,
my life.
You're the first to know this publicly.
Ta-da.
Those poster videos will be released on June 5th.
Wow. That is
also the same day, Sarah, that our presentation is due to the national office.
Woo-hoo.
Which is also the same weekend as the Singing Voice Science Workshop.
No stress, except a little.
So there's a lot going on sort of
June
from now
until
June
5th is a big day for you.
Well, and then a week and a half after that is the week I intend to do all the video recordings of the actual Q&A with the poster people.
But at least that's a little bit after, like, our thing will be done.
The poster videos will be done. The workshop thing will be done, yes.
Yeah, few little things will be done, and it won't be like you're drowning totally.
So going back to my very first statement about like the cognitive dissonance of like feeling like there's nothing going on, but there's also all this crap going on.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like I almost hate more when that's happening, because you don't have that really that schedule that makes you sit every day and do things. You have to have the initiative to go and do it. And when I'm sitting at home, that's really hard for me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm. Yeah. So honestly, it's going to be sort of from tomorrow onward a good distraction.
Yeah.
I've also been asked to do a like live Q&A.
Oh.
Wait a minute. What just happened here?
Something's ringing.
Sorry about that, Vocal Fam. That was totally... You know that Geico commercial when the spy is fighting the people on the roof and then his mom calls?
No.
You guys don't remember that commercial? Somebody out there remembers that commercial.
Someone out there remembers it. It's not me, but someone
does.
It
was a Super Bowl ad one year, and it's like,
huh, I'm surprised.
You know how your mom always calls at the wrong time?
Yes.
Well, that was my mother calling while we were podcasting. Sorry, Vocal Fam. No, what was I talking about? I totally lost my train of thought.
Oh.
We were talking about something.
Do you live? You're going to make something live. You're going live?
Oh, yes. I'm also doing a live Q&A. Just found out yesterday with someone. Not a Vocal Fry interview, but it's actually like an interview as part of the conference. So I'm doing... So I got that going on, too, to prepare for.
No stress. Real chill.
And I apologize if, in case anyone's listening. I still have two people who we were supposed to get with, one of whom we had booked and then just never reconnected and reconfirmed, and then one of whom I've talked to about being on the podcast who I just haven't actually gotten it set up yet. I think I might wait till National is over.
That might be wise.
Just so hopefully we'll still get those two wonderful ladies on, you know, sometime maybe
during the
late
summer
or something like that, you know, before school year kicks up.
Oh yeah.
Maybe we can do that in July. Since we will not have Comic-Con,
no.
It feels very strange.
When all these movies that have gotten pushed back, like usually I feel like summer is when our random sporadic things tend to be like, oh, movies.
Well, it's been very strange not doing a Marvel episode here in May.
I know. We finally made it through Captain America, the Civil War. We made it through Civil War, finally.
Sarah, just Vocal Fam, before... I want to talk about this in a second, but Sarah and I are both in the middle of an MCU rewatch. We're going to come back to that point in just a second.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, like I said at the very top, a lot of cognitive dissonance, a lot of...
It's a weird time to be alive.
As we all know, I think, you know, one of the most important things for all of us to remember is none of us expected to be living our lives in the middle of a global pandemic.
Nope.
I think we can pretty much all say, even if we were subscribing to the thing of like, seems like a pandemic is possible, you also sort of hope that it's not actually going to be a global wide economy crushing, millions of death.
I mean,
pandemic.
I think I read somewhere once that like we all. Like, in order to live and not be just a complete wreck of anxiety, we live just in kind of daily denial of certain possibilities that are very real in our life. Like, every time you get in the car, like, obviously there's a pretty decent chance you could, like, get in a car wreck, but we don't think about that or obsess about that. There is always the chance of a global pandemic, of a terrorist attack, of getting robbed. You know, like, these things in your life that you know are possibilities.
You could fall down a flight of stairs and break your neck.
Yeah, like, there are really weird things. And we laugh, I think, about, like, oh, when you're a kid and you get stuck on some of these possibilities of, like, okay, so for some reason when I was a child, I thought aneurysms happened to people more often than I think maybe they do.
I mean, they're a thing.
They're a thing. But, like, I feel like 8-year-old Sarah ran a very low risk of getting an aneurysm, but was convinced that she would. And so, like, I would get a random, very, like, acute headache, and I'd be like, it's happening. This is it. This is how I die. But you know what I mean? Like, it's things like that that, like, the older we get, especially, we kind of just ignore the possibility. And then all of a sudden, one day, you're living in the middle of a global pandemic, and you've been in your house for, like, months. And you don't, yeah, things are weird all of a sudden.
Yeah. Just sidebar, did you know that my very first band in high school was named Aneurysm?
No, I didn't.
I think I've said multiple times on the podcast now, Local Fan, that I was in multiple sort of grunge-esque. it was the 90s, so we were all one form of grunge music or another. But the very first band, which was really terrible, we played one gig. It was called Aneurysm.
I was in a band once.
Our bass player had no pitch and no rhythm.
Wow, that's difficult, isn't it?
So, anyway.
Aneurysm, the band.
Remember garage bands? folks. You remember garage bands? Anyway. But yeah, I just want to take a second because I don't think as a podcast we can sort of move forward without making a few statements. So there are these times in life when all of a sudden your life goes into very, very fast forward. And I think, and sometimes it takes years to realize the ramifications of those events. I think that oftentimes it's really terrible things that lead to those kind of things. For example, I'll use 9/11 as an example. That was something that took many years to realize sort of the ramifications of 9/11 and what have you. The good part about 9/11, not that there was anything good about it, but was that it was over very quickly. Like it started and it ended.
The actual event, yeah.
Yes, the actual event started, and a few hours later, the actual event in a way was sort of complete. From a just a shock perspective. But I think that there were two events that have already happened this spring where the whole global voice community changed incredibly rapidly.
Yes.
And obviously the first one of those is the fact that as of the first week of March, I think the great majority of voice teaching was going on in person.
Oh, yeah. First week of March, definitely.
And a week later, the majority of voice teaching was happening over the internet.
Yep. Very quickly.
That kind of shift doesn't... In fact, you could even... You could take that much more global and say that education was large and in part happening in person, and that a week later, education was happening over the internet.
It was. It was. I mean...
So that is crazy. Not a... that is a seismic shift. For the voice community, and I will admit that I think our choral colleagues are being hit harder than this, mm-hmm. and in a way, all of us are singers... I very few people enter the singing community not through choral music. Some do, maybe. Some of my students, for example, have never sung choral music because they're worship leaders.
I was going to say, it's a little different.
That's a little bit different. But even a lot of people end up coming to things like musical theater.
Through choir.
Certainly anyone who's sort of studying music education or vocal performance, they large and in part have come up through choir.
Yeah, that's how I got started.
And so for those of us in that voice world, I think we will forever, and I really believe this, mark what life was like before the webinar and what life was like after the webinar. And so I don't think that we, as the Vocal Fam, can ignore it and just act like that event didn't happen. And I don't think we will know for many years to come what the ramifications of that event were. So I'm not necessarily going to speculate on that regard. And I think that's very similar to the fact that we also don't yet, from empirical evidence, know exactly everything that there is to know about the coronavirus.
No.
We just don't.
No, we don't.
And as an evidence-based podcast, I am happy to refer you to the evidence on aerosol transmission and on, for example, the resources on the NATS COVID-19 resource page. There's a nice video that's very short going around from Emory Voice Center in regards to singing in the disease.
Yeah.
But I actually don't want to talk about any of that.
Okay.
What I want to talk about is what comes next. For one thing, I've actually had a great last quarter of this academic year.
That's awesome.
I very much enjoy teaching online. And I've also noticed, for example, yesterday, I taught the best voice lesson that I've taught in 12 months.
Fantastic.
One of the observations I've made about teaching online is that I think it's easier to teach a more advanced student.
It is.
Like I think a lot of our colleagues would make that observation. The more advanced, even with bad tech, the more advanced your opposite singer is, the easier it is to teach them, particularly if you also know that person. And have worked with them in person. So this was a former student who's been, we've been doing a little, just tune up, let's call it.
Yeah.
You know, this is a real pro singer and just been doing some tune up. Had sort of taken a little bit of a break.
Yeah.
And maybe had been feeling a little discouraged. We all go through periods like that, right? With our singing.
Yeah.
And so anyway, here in quarantine, this student and I have been taking advantage of the fact that we can do online voice lessons. And man, yesterday, this student, this is probably our, I'm going to say, fourth time meeting in quarantine. We've been meeting about every other week.
Okay.
And again, remember, this is a pro singer. This is not your 14-year-old
Sally. They know their instrument. That's the biggest thing for me, is someone who's like aware.
Yeah, well, and I mean, this person's well post a master's degree at a very high ranking conservatory-esque school.
Oh,
and,
phenomenal.
You know,
okay.
You know, this like I said, this is a pro. but who had gotten a little out of practice. But yesterday we were tweaking some things and whatever, and man, finally, like, fourth lesson in, yesterday we were just, I was like, okay, the voice is vocalizing well, the confidence is rebuilding, and this person has always struggled with their high C. They're a tenor, but they've always struggled with their very top. And I could just tell that, like, the exercises we were incorporating yesterday, we were singing clean sounds in the middle, and I was just like, man, this is rocking. And finally, once we had vocalized through high C, I was just like, all right, stop. And I just played the Boehm phrase, and I was like, sing it. And he did, and he nailed it.
Yay!
I mean, the C was full, it was ringing, it put the auto gain off, it was awesome. So anyway, I've actually learned that I very much enjoy online teaching. I have no problems with it. I have no complaints about it. I've learned the different things to manage in it, but that's not what I want to talk about either.
Okay.
What I want to talk about, and actually I will say, Michelle Marquardt DeVoe beat me to this by about 24 hours.
All right.
And so, Michelle, I'm not going to read your list, but know that my sentiments are very much in the same vein as what you shared. What I want to talk about is how we love each other moving forward.
Yeah. I forget y'all can't see me nodding. That doesn't work. Yeah.
One of my greatest fears for... I'm going to relate this to something else real quick. One of my greatest, not fears, that's not the right, I don't fear that, but, well, something I'm concerned about for the church is a potential division over our collective gathering again to worship or not.
Yeah.
To gather again or not, to sing if we gather again, and then overall basic dissension within the church over the coronavirus zeitgeist.
Yeah.
And I want Vocal Fam, I want you to hear me. In general, my default is to always try to base my discussions in evidence-based research. And so don't think that I've all of a sudden just totally abandoned empirical evidence. But here is my concern for the voice world. I think very soon, if not already happening, parts of the country that are not to use the politicized word, but I have no other word to use for it, that are, quote, reopening, are going to be doing in-person voice teaching. And dare I say, in-person choral rehearsals. This is a plea from Perna to the voice world. I am begging us not to vilify our colleagues if they choose to A, teach an in-person voice lesson, or B, have an in-person choral rehearsal. I understand the dangers. We need to be doing our best to educate ourselves about those dangers. We need to be educating ourselves about the evidence of coronavirus cases around ourselves. We need to do our due diligence to keep our students and our colleagues safe. Yeah. Right? And this is a plea from me, particularly to my colleagues in the intellectual bourgeoisie of voice science, not to vilify anyone who does make the decision to teach in person for the sake of keeping their job when within the CDC guidelines or the governmental restrictions, because right now the CDC has not said not to sing. Now that could change. The thing is, by the time you're listening to this episode, Vocal Fam, there could be different laws that I don't know about.
There could be. Well, and everything changes so fast and so quickly that, you know, I think those of us that teach kind of in academic settings are almost lucky in that we kind of have a little time to bide.
Yes.
Like, we don't have but to I, necessarily make a decision or say, oh, yeah, I'm going to teach in yet because I've got 2 months.
And here's the reality. The reality is, look, folks, the reality is my whole statement could be a moot point because if there's a giant second spike and we're all virtual for the entire academic year because of law or whatever.
But I think that almost makes your point less, like it wouldn't be a moot point. Is it really worth destroying friendships, bridges, relationships over something that might be a moot point? Like, are you really going to cast stones at somebody without being in their position, without knowing what they're going through, what every detail is, and then it might be for nothing? Like, how terrible would you feel?
So what I'm just saying, and I think the argument against that would be, yes, but I think there's an argument that I could see being made for people to say it's worth burning that bridge and ruining that friendship if I save lives.
But are you going to persuade? Like, has anybody ever been persuaded by someone screaming at them and saying, but you're a horrible person?
Right.
Like,
correct.
What is it? You catch more flies with honey? Isn't that?
Well, and look. Not to continually relate this back to the church, but I honestly believe, and this is weird, but I honestly believe that the church and religious organizations in general, where there's singing that goes on, forget the religion, but those types of groups and particularly choirs mm-hmm. are the two that we've heard the most about. But I also want to say, this also fully goes for any loud speaking environment.
Oh, yeah.
From a football game mm-hmm. to a football practice to a rock concert to a restaurant where there's loud music or a club. Notice what happened in South Korea when one guy with coronavirus went to the clubs and all of a sudden they had a big resurgence.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, so anyway, it's, but all that aside, all the evidence aside and all the responsibilities aside, which I want to urge the Vocal fam, do your due diligence
before
to know the information. You know, please be informed. Being informed is great, right?
Oh, yes.
Being informed is great. This is a plea from me, from this little soapbox that I have. This little platform of this podcast that I have, which is not, you know, look, I'm nobody. I'm just a dad and a husband and some guy wearing a Captain America shirt with Yoda behind him, you know, on a podcast. But my plea to our community is to respond to each other with love. And not judgment. Because
that.
if we don't, and we as a voice community choose judgment, it will fracture us beyond
repair. So much worse, yeah.
The music community is struggling enough. The voice world is struggling enough. Arts organizations are struggling enough. There are people who can't afford to buy food for their children. I am asking us as professionals not to vilify someone. If they're looking at the data for their region and they say, you know what, we feel it's worth the risk. Mm-hmm. My studio or my school has opened. They are asking me to do my job.
And like, what do you do?
All I am asking is that we don't judge that person for trying to put food on the table for their children.
Yeah. Yes. Empathy is a good thing.
I just want us to love each other. That's it. And here's the thing. I had a great conversation with a group of very close friends yesterday. Not in person.
No.
Not only were we practicing social distancing, it was actually a great conversation just via text message. But all of us in that group, we all know that we love each other. And we disagree on a lot of the things that are going on right now. But I believe that that group of friends will still love each other on the opposite side of this thing. Not because we agreed with each other or because we shied away from talking about our differences of how we felt about this thing. But we're going to come out of it on the other side of this thing because we loved each other and because we were able to figure out ways to talk about it with each other. Because here's the thing, guys. Vocal fam, if someone is hell-bent on doing in-person lessons, guess what? It's just like social media. You can scream at them with all caps all you want. They're going to do it.
No, they're just going to block you.
And you can warn them about litigation.
But like they know.
And you can warn them about a million deaths, or 5 million deaths, or 100 million deaths. I know people who would... I know people from every side of this thing.
Same. It's been very interesting just to see the different responses from people. And just, you know, you might think you can guess what a person's opinion's going to be, and you just can't.
So it may be very strange to you to be sitting here listening to Vocal Fry, where you might assume that we would just list the resources and the most up-to-date science information on this whole thing. I'm encouraging you to go read that.
Yes.
I think that's important.
Yes.
I'm definitely encouraging you to wash your hands. I'm definitely encouraging you to wear a face mask when you're in public. Those are just things that Pern is prepared to just
Even if we cure coronavirus, please keep washing your hands. Just,
oh, well, that's also just period. Yes,
please wash your hands always.
Yeah, it's also just...
I think I said that when this first started happening. Like, were you people not washing your hands? I stick by that. Please wash your hands.
Not only that, but also cover your face if you have to sneeze or cough.
I was going
to
say, it's polite to not cough on people. You're not three. Right. Don't do it.
Here's another thing I want to say about all this, though. I am also not prepared to start vilifying singing.
Mm-hmm. It's...
Because guess what? At some point, either one of three things is going to be true. Maybe four. One... We'll find a vaccine, and there will be another side of this because we have a vaccine.
Of course.
Two, we'll find a treatment that very much minimizes the effects of coronavirus.
Yeah.
I think that's probably more likely, actually, personally. But
okay.
Three, we will have the Matrix, because I actually think that's even more likely.
I'm sorry, you're going to have to elaborate on that one.
I think that technology will fast forward through the medicine, and we'll all still be living in our homes, except we'll all be interacting with each other digitally over the internet, actually in the Matrix.
You know what? I totally
all
buy that,
wearing,
because if
all
you
wearing,
offered that to me, I would probably do it.
All of us wearing VR headsets.
Like, I like going outside, so I'd probably still want to do that, but if you told me, Sarah, you can just keep working from home and giving virtual tours, I'd be like, okay, thanks.
Like, actually, like, having 8x8 floor pads that have also, like, sittable furniture in them where you can actually move and simulate motion and you have your headset on and the only time you come out of it, like, is at night then to have dinner with your family.
Stop it. I almost, like, I want to say that's crazy, but I could totally see.
I think the technology will way surpass the medicine. So, anyway.
I would love to know how virtual reality, like, stocks and, like, supplies have been doing during all this, now that you say that.
Yeah. I think the fourth option is the terrible one, where basically the entire world economy collapses and nothing happens. Anyway.
I was going to say, that's the one where I think I live every day trying to just not think about that, because...
Me too. So yeah. Anyway, I'm trying to go operate from a place of hope where there's another side of this thing.
Yes.
Where singing and music will still matter. Because guess what? I also hope, as I said last episode, that this is giving us a chance to remember why in the world we liked music in the first place.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was a whole lot to be said, but I felt like I needed to say it before we could move on as a podcast.
Hear, hear.
Treat each other with love, Vocal Fam. Let's stop yelling at each other and vilifying each other. Or vilifying singing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's listen to the science. Let's listen to the CDC. Let's inform ourselves about the science. Stop trusting journalists give you the science.
Or you know
actually
what drives me
read
nuts?
Read the science.
People that just read headlines.
Oh, stop
or
it.
Or just post things for headlines. And you're like, I feel like you didn't read this article. Because if you read this article, you never would have shared it.
Right. So anyway... all that to be said. Yeah. So on the other side of things of the podcast, Sarah and I are both in the midst of an MCU rewatch.
Yeah.
Which I've actually can I just tell you what I've been doing?
Okay.
I have to pull out my notepad. Why do I have 31 text messages?
I bet that's the I kept hearing. Was your phone on vibrate?
Yes.
I thought Jamie kept getting text messages. I bet
sorry.
It was you.
Vocal fam, I'm so sorry. If those are all on the podcast, because this beautiful Audix mic picks up everything, and if Audix would like to sponsor the Vocal Fry podcast,
please do.
They can contact us on our website.
Don't check your
but,
phone the whole
so
time.
So here's what I've been doing. I've got five line items that I'm keeping lists of.
Okay.
You know my great love of lists.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm not prepared to go public with any of these yet because I haven't finished.
All right, I buy that. I get it.
We're on Captain Marvel tonight.
Oh, y'all are behind. Are y'all watching these in release order or like chronological order?
Release order.
Oh, we've been doing chronological. Okay,
it's all about the post-credit scenes for me.
Okay, I buy that.
I want the Marvel narrative, not the chronology.
See, I love the chronology. I love seeing, because it's interesting to be like, oh my gosh, this happened. It's crazy.
Right. Well, like last night when we were doing Ant-Man and the Wasp, my wife was like, when is this happening?
Yeah, so, and that's why like I'm very interested to actually watch that between Infinity War and Endgame.
No,
right?
They're simultaneous.
No. It's simultaneous. We're actually watching, we're going to do Infinity War, then Ant-Man and the Wasp, and then Endgame because we want to break it up a little bit.
I think the only proper way to do it, the way you're doing it, is to watch Infinity War and Ant-Man and the Wasp simultaneously on two screens and be confused.
I'll get on that.
So, pshaw. But
I'm just doing it wrong.
So here are my five lists, just to give everyone a preview, because next week I'll be ready to rattle these off.
Okay, I'm ready for it.
As you might imagine, I'm doing Perna's own personal ranking. My own personal ranking.
Like all
just
the movies?
Yes.
All right.
So, obviously, because, I mean, of course. I've also been keeping a list, and so far I'm up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I'm making a list of favorite lines.
Okay.
So far, I'm up to 9.
I'm shocked there aren't more, honestly.
I've been really trying to keep it just like...
to like one a movie or something like that?
That man is playing Galaga.
That was like, a good one.
Like, I'm really trying to keep it to my absolute favorites. I have a list, a short list, but as you know, Vocal Fam, I watch these movies fairly intently.
What?
And I've been keeping a list of things that I actually have missed in all my viewings of these movies.
Right, there's something new every time.
So far, it's only a list of 3.
Okay, well, for some of us, there's something new every time. Granted, part of that's because there are certain ones, like Civil War, that I have... this was the second time I think I'd ever watched it because it was such a, like, emotional experience, but...
I think this is only the second time I've ever watched Iron Man 3 or 2.
Same. I think I'd only watched those once before. I'm not going to say the name because someone would get really mad at me.
Right. And then I have favorite suit up.
Yeah.
And favorite overall entrance in a movie. Like when a character first enters a movie.
First introduce them.
Like, not their introduction to the franchise, like their first entrance in a movie.
Do you mean, and like, okay, so like, let's say for Captain America, are you counting it as like the first time like he comes out of the like pod and he's like...
That would be an example.
I'm not saying that's
on
your list.
That's not Steve Rogers' entrance in the movie.
It's Captain America's.
Right. Actually, like, so for an example, like, my favorite Steve Rogers entrance is... in the movie, in any of the movies, mm-hmm. is when he first shows up as the Nomad in Infinity War.
Ah, we just watched that, and I was like, ah, because the train's just like, phew, phew. So good.
Yeah, and the strings just start chugging, and it's great.
It is.
So anyway, that's what I mean.
Okay, those are some solid. Yeah. Okay, it's not like they're limited to one entrance.
And clarify, when I say favorite suit-ups, I don't just mean Iron Man.
No, they all have different...
Although Iron Man could have 8 of my top 10 favorite suit-ups.
Well, his are the most, like, epic.
Yeah, but there's one to me that just stands out above all the rest.
I feel like I know who it is, but
it's just.
I'll wait for the big reveal.
It's hands down. I just think it's the best suit up in the entire MCU.
I'm like 99% sure I know, but like.
Actually, both of my favorite suit ups.
Same person?
No.
Oh.
Same movie. Which also is not surprisingly number one on my list.
Okay. I still feel like I know what it is, but okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
Intrigued to see if I'm right.
So that'll be a little preview of next week, Vocal Fam. Sarah and I will both hopefully be done with our rewatches.
It's hard to say. The next few movies on our list are pretty intense. It took us a really long time to get through Civil War. It's hard to
say.
That's because
you're not the same team.
I know. Jamie's glaring at me because he would love it if I was watching Infinity Wars right now. But it's got so many feelings. And, okay, here's something that should go on your list to watch with your kids if you're looking for things to watch with your kids. Avatar The Last Airbender. It's back on Netflix, friends.
Yes, I've heard great things about
this.
I've never watched it.
Amazing. Okay, I will warn you, and I was not anticipating this. The animation in the first few episodes is like really bad. Not like the pictures themselves, but like I guess just HDTV probably just wasn't a thing, and so it wasn't capable of having the frame rates. And so it's a little jumpy.
I mean, have you seen the first four seasons of Doctor Who?
Yeah, exactly. But as far as... it's so good. And, like, your children would love it.
Okay. All right.
I'm pretty sure Charlie would want to be a waterbender.
They're hooked on an Australian show right now called The Investigators.
That's cute. I haven't heard of that.
Like, the best. It's kind of like the Australian version of Odd Squad.
Oh. Well, you'll like Avatar The Last Airbender too, and you'll need to watch it because love that show.
Is it like the quality of Voltron though?
Yes, I think it's probably targeted a little, especially the first season I think is targeted a little younger. Uh-huh. But then I think as like second season and third season, I think they recognized that their audience was really a little older.
Which is kind of Clone Wars.
I was going to say, you kind of have that with Clone Wars and Voltron, yeah. I feel like, where after a season, they're like, oh, wait, we have adults really watching this.
Oh, wait, 30-somethings are watching Voltron. Okay,
yeah.
All right.
I won't say it ever gets that much, because like, keep in mind, like this was a show that was on Nickelodeon. Like, it's definitely a kid's show, but I would say... As it goes on, pretty quickly, they're like, grown-ups seem to like this? Okay, cool. It's a great show.
Well, I look forward to that. We'll check it out.
My point was that's been distracting me from Infinity Wars whenever it gets too intense. That's where that was coming from. I knew it had something to do with watching like Marvel movies. Even if vaguely.
Well, we're going to sit down and watch Captain Marvel tonight.
Yay!
I've got too many things going on tomorrow. We will not watch Endgame tomorrow. Endgame will be on Tuesday.
Oof.
And Spider-Man...
Are y'all going to buy Spider-Man? Because we couldn't find it anywhere to stream.
Yes, I purchased the dual pack on iTunes.
Smart.
Of both movies together.
Smart, okay.
So... we're going to watch the second Spider-Man then probably on Wednesday. So that next weekend we'll have our full report. I'll report back.
Lists
Vocal
will
fam.
Be done. I'm so intrigued to see how many things make the list from Endgame.
I haven't rewatched it for the seventh time.
So it's hard to say yet.
So it's still hard to say.
Impossible to predict, some might say.
But one of the joys I've actually had through this, I'll just share this today, sort of as a takeaway for me, is how much I've enjoyed. There were so many of the movies, I didn't even realize this, that particularly from phase one and two,
oh yeah,
that my kids and my wife had not seen.
Well, there were so many of those for me that like I had watched one time.
Years ago,
and it was so great to go back and watch, because some of them still are not like the best movies out of the bunch, but like they're really good, and there are just things set up even then that I'm like, what?
And yeah. I'll just say, this is just a maybe not giving away my list or anything, but I am just a firm believer that Captain America is, as Michael said on the podcast, the core of the MCU.
He is.
The very first movie.
It's okay, because I didn't say any names.
So good. Now, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I love Iron Man as much as anybody.
Oh, yeah. Well, so, like, if Iron Man's the, like, dad, then like, Captain America is the mom of the team.
That's kind of weird.
No, it's not. It works.
It's kind of a weird, no, I kind of went to a weird place.
They separated for a little bit, but it's okay. They got back together, and then they died. It's fine.
It's kind of a weird place,
no.
Well, we'll go with
you
it.
You gotta have, I mean, yeah.
All yeah. Right. Okay.
I feel like Bruce Banner, he's kind of your crotchety old grandpa.
Yeah, that fits.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. How else?
Thor's the drunk oldest son.
Oh, I was going to call him an uncle, but that works too. That works too.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like the adult child and everybody else is a kid child.
Black Widow's your cool aunt.
That's right.
I feel cool like aunt. Hawkeye is actually your grandma.
Grandpa.
See, I called her she
grandma.
Could,
yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, like, kind of gives out.
That's right.
He kind of, like, keeps everyone together, gives people some good advice sometimes, but sometimes, that's like, is swatting you with a broomstick.
That's right.
That's how I'm picturing him. Oh, we were rolling in Age of Ultron at Hawkeye's interactions with that little Quicksilver dude.
Quicksilver.
Pietro. Yeah. I could just shoot him right here. I don't know. Last time I saw him, Ultron was sitting on him. We were rolling. That was solid.
Yeah. So anyway, Vocal Fam, we hope that you have a great week. Listen, I just want to say it again. Let's love each other. Mm-hmm. And not only let's love each other, let's not be judgmental towards each other. And also, if you have a chance this week, do some singing. Not some voice teaching.
Yes.
Actually do some singing. Do some singing. And you'll feel better after you do it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sarah, what'd you have for breakfast?
Oh, muffins. Now, in my defense, I'm about to try to eat something non-muffiny for breakfast this coming week because I've eaten a lot of muffins lately, and I'm like, oh, these just aren't quite filling enough. I know it's a horrible place to come to, but here I am. But I haven't gone grocery shopping yet for next week, and all I had left were muffins, so really I had no choice but to eat the muffins.
Ah, well, then it was being forced into it.
It's not an option. I don't know what the non-muffin food's going to be moving forward, but I'm going to make some attempts. Make no promises. There's a decent chance next week I'm just going to say protein muffins. But, you know, we're going to give some things some shots. We'll see what happens. Oh, goodness.
All right, Vocal Fam. We will have some data, actually, for you next week. That'll be...
And data and lists.
It's
going to be one for the books.
Data and lists. Yes. That might be a good title for next week's episode. I have no idea what I'm going to call this week, but... All right, Vocal Fam. We are out. Peace. You ready?
Yeah.
All right.